title of tonight's message is actually the same as the song, Something Has to Break. And I don't know about you, but have you ever dealt with something in your life that you've said, Lord, you have to take this. I can't keep dealing with this. I can't keep falling in this area. I can't keep failing in this area. Whether it's a situation at home, with your family, with a health issue, spiritual issues, something has to break. And this message actually turned into two messages, and next week I'm going to finish this portion of Mark chapter 9, where Jesus says, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. And I've been saturating my mind into that, looking at commentaries, reading that verse over and over and over again, and there's something there that sometimes you have to press against the demonic realm before there's freedom. Sometimes things don't happen instantly. Sometimes there's a fight, there's a battle, it takes perseverance, and that's why many of us are not giving up on our nation, and we're not giving up on the state of California. We are petitioning God, we are seeking Him, we are calling down heaven to change hell that's happening here. Arthur Wallace, you mind if I take this off? I like moving around a little bit. Arthur Wallace wrote an incredible book on fasting. I want to encourage you to read that. You can look it up on Amazon. But he said, often pressure has to be maintained in the spiritual realm before there is a breakthrough in heavenly warfare. What he's saying there, and it's so true, often pressure has to be maintained before there is a breakthrough. So what you're going through, the enemy wants you to give up and give in, become discouraged and defeated. But often it takes pressure. It takes perseverance. But isn't that so true? Sometimes you've got to press in. Sometimes you've got to keep fighting and not giving up. And the enemy, if he can just get us to quit and be defeated, he might not take your salvation, but he can take your energy. He can take your witness. And many of us cry that out, Lord, something has to break. God, take this from me. And throughout the Old Testament, we'll read things like the war between David and Saul was long. And the Bible actually said the war between them was long, but David grew stronger and stronger. And when God promised them the promised land, were they able to take that land within a few days? Come on. A few weeks? Years of fighting and persevering. And I wish it wasn't the case. I wish I had different types of news for you tonight. Sometimes God does do things instantaneously. I've prayed for people. They've been delivered of crystal meth and alcohol and you name it. But sometimes for other people, there's a battle. There's a battle that wages, and we have to keep pressing against the spiritual realm through prayer and fasting and seeking God in heaven, and there's warfare. Even when Daniel prayed, the angel said, I heard you when you prayed, but for 21 days, I was engaged in spiritual warfare. And so there's a perseverance that goes along with our Christian faith. And there comes a time where either the problem will be broken or the problem will break you. What I mean by that is sometimes God uses our situations to get us to the foot of the cross. Sometimes He uses that pain and discouragement to get us back to Him. I know in my own life, I would have never fully surrendered my life until He began to take away things from my life and begin to break me down and humble me. And so as we're going through things, if you can stay pointed to the Savior, focused on the cross, there is victory at the end. And that's why discouragement is so dangerous in the Christian faith. So what I want to read tonight is from Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, if you have your Bible, you can refer to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Real Bibles, not phone Bibles. What happens on phone Bibles? We get text messages and emails and we get distracted. At least I do. A confession here. Mark 9, this is a very interesting scenario. This boy is having seizures. And he's throwing himself into the fire and throwing himself into the water. And it's actually, Matthew records it as epileptic seizures. And it is actually demonically inspired. He has a demon. He is demonized. And I've been talking about that the last few weeks. If you want to get the context of demonology, listen to the last few weeks' messages. They will set this in context. So Mark 9:14, Jesus saw that the scribes were arguing with the disciples. So you have this picture of the disciples of Jesus arguing with the religious leaders. And this is very common throughout the life of Jesus. And Jesus asked the scribes, and they were, as their name would suggest, they would write things down, the Torah, the law, but they're also teachers of the law. These were the religious leaders of the land. So Jesus said, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes at his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and asked them to cast it out, but they could not." Boy, was this guy saying something needs to break or what? He had this young, can you imagine your child? Epileptic seizures and throwing himself into the fire and into the water and always having to watch his child. And the father is in desperation. "I brought him to you, but your disciples could not cast him out." And I started to wonder if that discussion where the scribes were arguing with the disciples, what were they arguing about? Were they mocking them? "Where's this Jesus now that you talk about? Where's this Jesus now? You can't cast this demon out. Where is your God? Has anybody ever challenged you with that? Where is your God now? Where is Jesus now?" And they were standing there utterly defeated and in failure because they could not cast out the demon. And this father's desperation and frustration led to him seeking God like never before. And let me tell you something, this will be for some of you, I'm sure. God may ruin your schedule to repair your heart. God might ruin your schedule to repair your heart. He might allow difficult situations and things where you say, "Lord, this has to break." But God is using that to repair your heart. But there is something interesting here. I don't want to overlook this. This is the key. We cannot forget about the demonic realm. Now, we have to be careful because there's not a demon behind every bush. There's not a demon underneath every rock. But how many of us, I've been guilty myself, just call a doctor or get medication. We forget that the demonic realm is real. And we see here that it affected this man, this boy's mental capacities, his mental illness. Basically, an epileptic seizure, if that's what it was, there is electrical shocks that happen and the body can't register correctly and it begins to convulse. Now, I'm not saying if somebody has that, it's because of edema. Please don't understand. But we cannot rule these things out. If we do, what do we do with the Bible? It talks about that these things can manifest themselves. Demonic manifestations can manifest themselves mentally. And because of pride, sometimes we allow pride to get in the way. I don't want to admit that I might have a demon harassing me. Or a family. We have to be careful in the church. Like, if we want to pray for your son or daughter, and we start to talk about demonic influence, parents get a little defensive. They get defensive. "Oh, no, that can't be a demon." Now, most of you know I'm pretty conservative, so I don't run to the demon camp and start casting out demons. But the more I'm reading the New Testament, the more it's pretty clear it was throughout Jesus' ministry. So what do we do with that? Just kind of discard it because we don't like it, because it's uncomfortable? We also know that demons can hurt your body. What about the woman bent over? Jesus said, should not this daughter of Abram, who has been bound by Satan, should not be free? "Woman, thou art loosed from your infirmities." And he prayed and the woman was able to stand up straight. What about the torment? The demons tormented the man in the tombs, the men in the tombs, that Jesus came on the other side of the lake there and he got out of the boat and these people were filled with a legion of demons. And the Bible talks throughout the whole of the Gospels on the demonic realm. So I just want to be careful that we don't rule that out. Now, there's not a checklist. You can't go, "Well, let's do these top 10 checklists to see if I have a demon." or see if my son does. But I believe you can use discernment. I believe you can use wisdom and seek the heart of God. That's why prayer and fasting is so important, and that's why discernment is so important. The Bible talks about the discerning of spirits, what is really going on. And then verse 19 and 20, he answered him and said, now remember, let's put this in context. The man said, your disciples could not cast out this demon. So Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? That's not very nice. Jesus is not being very nice. How long will I bear with you, he said. And I don't think he's being very quiet there. He's probably being vocal. Oh, you faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? In other words, you've seen my ministry. You've seen me do many things here. I'm irritated. Jesus was irritated. Bring him to me, he said. Bring the boy to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when this boy saw Jesus, he immediately convulsed and fell on the ground, and he wallowed around. He was foaming at the mouth. They thought he had actually died. And it's interesting, you'll see this with demonic types of oppression. When there is deliverance, how that demonic manifests itself, the demon manifests itself, is very interesting. Those coming out of addiction will sometimes vomit and sometimes expel this, and others who he's repeating what he's already done in the boy. It's like a last ditch effort to keep fighting and wanting to stay in that boy. But when you come into contact with Jesus, even the demons tremble. They cannot negotiate with Jesus. They have to obey the Son of God. When he says depart, they must depart. When he says remove yourself from that boy, they must listen. This is a Savior that we follow. And it's interesting here, nearness to Christ affects the darkness. Have you ever noticed that? The closer you draw to Jesus Christ, the more you will affect the darkness, the more the darkness will not like you. And as things get darker in our nation, this is going to become more apparent. The more you shine, the more that you have the light of the gospel, the more the darkness will begin to hate what you're doing. The darkness hates the light because the light bears witness of the evil of the darkness. But I should probably pause here and tell you, when Jesus rebuked the disciples, there is a time for a loving rebuke from time to time. And that is one of the reasons I believe that America has drifted so far, is because we no longer rebuke, we only want to encourage. I want everyone in the stadium to leave loving the message. Oh, Shane, that was so wonderful. It didn't convict me. It didn't hurt. It tickled my ears. But that's not Bible-believing, heart-wrenching preaching. Sometimes you got to convict. Sometimes you got upset. Sometimes you got to stir the pot like Jesus did. He would rebuke entire cities. Did you know that? He wasn't just this nice, mild, meek Jesus walking around, turning the other cheek. Actually, he didn't turn the other cheek when he got slapped. He confronted the man. He said, I would call down a legions of armies to fight for me. And he told these same religious leaders, you are hypocrites. You tithe, but you forget about mercy and justice and grace and righteousness. Oh, you clean the outside of the cups, but inside your cups, you are greedy. You are deceitful. You are hypocrites. You religious leaders, you are like whitewashed tombs on the outside, but inside, you are dead men's bones. And you say, oh, if we would have lived back when our forefathers lived, we would have never killed the prophets. And he said, you testify that you're sons of murderers. See, he's calling them out. He's calling that hypocrisy. He's not stroking their egos. He's calling them to conviction, and he's calling them to repentance. He said, you brood of vipers, fill up the cup of God's righteous indignation. How will you escape the condemnation of hell? That's Jesus. That's not Shane Eidelman. Because sometimes you got to confront. America needs a spanking as well. Can you imagine if the pulpits would get back to preaching repentance and hell hot and heaven sweet, and calling people and reminding them that the judgment of God, and calling them to repentance with tears in their eyes, not out of anger, not out of frustration, but out of true brokenness for the condition that we are leaving our children and our grandchildren. America needs a spanking right about now. She needs to be confronted in her sin and called back to God. It's okay to lovingly confront. Pastors are not just cheerleaders. We are game changers. The pulpit sets the tone for the nation. And then verse 21 to 24. Jesus asked this boy's father, how long has this been happening to him? How long has this been happening to him? And I can feel the pain of a father, can't you? From childhood. From childhood, this boy has been possessed. Actually, the New Testament doesn't use that word. It's more demonized. The King James translates that word possessed, but it's really demonized, demontio, or something along those lines. In the Greek, it means to have a demon. He says, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. And he throws himself into the fire, into the water. The devil wants to destroy him. The demon is set out to destroy him. And that is what the demonic realm wants to do. Listen, let me speak openly and honestly to you. Do not play with the devil. Do not play with things that God forbids. Let's get ready to go again. Do not play with sin. Do not compromise. None of us are perfect, not even me, but you have to note how far you've drifted and note that compromise, repent, and turn back to God. Because anytime you open that door to the enemy, he keeps pushing the door open. That's where that saying comes from. Give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And boy, isn't that true. Sin takes you farther than you want to go. It costs you more than you want to pay, and it keeps you longer than you want to stay. But it was really interesting that maybe because Promise Keepers was just in Texas. I don't know how many of you are following that. I was supposed to be there, but I wanted to be here. But it reminded me the desperate need for men, again, to lead. And it's throughout the New Testament, you'll often see the Father would bring, the Father leading the way, the Father leading the way in spiritual matters, the Father leading the way in prayer, the Father leading the way in calling down heaven, the Father leading the way in guarding his family spiritually. And this man, in utter desperation, brought this boy to Jesus. And he said, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, oh Jesus, please have compassion on us. Please help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now here's where Christianity has gotten in trouble over the years. The name it and claim it. I want that house on Courtsill Mountain and I want the BMW. I'm naming it and I'm claiming it. Look, it says right here. No, if you ask anything according to my will. Your prayers aren't answered because you want to spend them on your money on foolish things. The Bible talks about having our hearts not set in the right direction. But it is a truth throughout Scripture. If you believe, and I believe as we seek God, he begins to give us the desires of our heart. Commit your ways to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And so once you have this thought of something that God wants you to do or wants you to have, once you begin to believe in that and press in, believing according to God's will, God can do anything according to that. There are boundaries around that request. And Jesus said, if you believe, if you have faith, if you trust that God can do whatever he can heal, he can set free, he can renew, he can restore your marriage, he can bring your prodigal son home. I don't care what they're hooked on, how far they're gone. I don't care if they've just cussed out God and left. God is greater than that situation. Oh, if we could just get belief back in the churches again and put God on the rightful place and say, Lord, everything is possible with you. I'm not just saying it to saying it. I know because God has brought this prodigal son home. I've seen amazing answers to prayer when there's a darkest of the night, God shine the brightest. Oh, if you just believe, he will set you free. And then many of you know the Father's response, I think. It's a very famous scripture. The Father didn't whisper, he cried out. And I've said this many times. I've cried out in tears. Oh, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. See, that's being honest with God. There's no one that can have perfect 100% belief, I believe, with our sin nature still attached on this side of heaven. There's that doubt that always comes in. Even when we are planting the church, people say, were you 100% certain? No. I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. And he cried out, Lord, I know you can heal my son, but there's been so much failure, so much shame, so much regret. I know you can, but Lord, help my unbelief because I want to trust in you, but something is rising up within me, doubt and fear, saying, no, this can't happen. It's been this way too long. And that's very healthy prayer to say, Lord, help my unbelief. He's basically saying, Lord, something has to break. He cried out because this is where anger, failure, and frustration meet. Have you ever been there? Anger, failure, frustration. Nothing seems to be going right. Everything seems to be falling apart. I begin to trust in God and all hell breaks loose. Everything is coming at me. A failure and anger. Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? I believe your word. I believe you said, if I ask, I shall receive. I believe your word that says, if you seek me, you will find me. God, I'm seeking. I'm drawing to you. But Lord, I'm feeling empty. There's something going on within me that's drawing me away from you. Oh, God, help my unbelief. And it's that point of desperation, folks. We've got to get back to desperation and crying out to God and calling out to God. We've, in our conservative churches, we become too conservative. And in our liberal churches, we become too wishy-washy and have drifted from God. You know, if you study prayer in the Bible, I've studied before when I do messages on prayer from Genesis to Revelation. And they're not long prayers often, but they are heartfelt prayers. There's emotional engagement. And it often is paralleled, if you look in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, or in the Greek, it parallels to a woman going and having a child, birthing pains, travailing. When Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. There's a desperation where you say, God, I'm holding on and I'm not letting go. I've got the hem of your garment and I'm not letting go. I don't see the results right now, but I'm not letting go. My spouse just sent me the divorce papers, but I'm not letting go. My prodigal son is cursing you. My wayward daughter is hooked on drugs. This addiction is taking me down, but I'm focused on you and I will not let go. Because I trust your word. See, sometimes you've got to encourage yourself. You can't wait for Jethawk Stadium. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what David said. I will encourage myself in the Lord. And I will be reminded of his promises. I will be reminded of how good God is. Avoid the news, folks. I made the mistake of going on yesterday. And here comes COVID again. Here come the mask in LA County. Here come the new variants. Here come the mandatory vaccines. And you start, oh. God says, I've got this. It is kind of ironic, though. We read the Bible, we know what it says, and then when it's starting to happen, we get fearful. It's like, we're okay as long as it's not happening. And I can definitely see where all of this is turning into where you can't buy or sell. They're already saying it on the news, the White House. Unless you get the jab, you might not be able to have a job. Well, that's getting pretty close to. Now, I'm not saying the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Please don't anybody tweet that. Because you're not rejecting Jesus Christ. People have personal choices in that. There's differing of views. That's fine. But you can see how a lot of this is leading toward where the government control, the government oversight. Just saying this, Facebook's probably going to cut this one off. But we've got to continue to speak the truth. So he cried out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And verse 25, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, he convulsed him greatly, came out of him, and he became as one who was dead. so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him up by the hand and lifted him up. And listen, I feel this strongly right now as I did this week. There is a last ditch effort in the life, in the lives of some of you where the enemy is trying, it's his last effort. He knows he doesn't have a lot of time and he is trying to take you down. Don't give up, look up. Don't take your life or don't run from God, run to him. It's a last ditch effort. And often before the demonic realm is released, or victory comes right before there is a last ditch effort where all hell breaks loose. I've talked to many Christians who've been doing great and old sins they used to struggle with come knocking at the door. Where is that? Where's that coming from? You've been doing fine with anxiety and fear, but here it comes again. Almost it's debilitating. And instead of running to Christ, we run to Xanax. And then the side effects of coming off of that are not much better. I'm actually going to talk about that tomorrow because I have more time on Sundays on medication. And I'm not necessarily against medication. Sometimes there's a need for that. But I think sometimes we run to that instead of Christ. But this is so interesting. Jesus took him up and he lifted this boy up. And I believe he can do that with some of you tonight. Maybe you feel depressed or defeated. Maybe your walk with the Lord is not where you want it to be. There's so many different lifestyles and situations here tonight. I know that this is true. That when Jesus lifts you up and brings you out, you will be forever changed. And we let doubt and bitterness and fear come in and stop us. And there's nothing else that will work. It's interesting, this man, he said, I brought you my son. I brought the disciples my son. And they couldn't do it. And sometimes we look to doctors, or we look to therapists, or we look to self-discipline. And sometimes God crushes all of that out, gets rid of all of that, and gets our eyes focused back on him again. But you know what? We are talking about something has to break. And it's an interesting topic because God does deliver. God does deliver like this. It's just done. Sometimes he will deliver you of whatever you're going through. And it's amazing. And I would love the opportunity to have our prayer team pray with you after the service or during closing worship. If you go to the prayer tents over there, we have a prayer team there that will pray for you and over you on these things. We have seen God do amazing things. There is a spirit, there is an atmosphere of revival that is going on in the Antelope Valley. I don't know if you're aware of that, but people are hungry for God. People are being delivered and set free and healed and things you don't even know about. And God just, he will set them free. I don't know if it was here, maybe at the campus in Leona Valley where there was a young girl that came up and said, you prayed for me 7 months ago, and I was on crystal meth and alcohol, and I have never touched it again. And there was another person, a homeless guy. I think the homeless ministry brought him to the church, and he was 24 hours, and since he's had his last hit of crystal meth, and he came in a week later looking smiling. He hasn't touched it since. Now I know that's a heavy addiction for most of you here. But addiction is addiction. A stronghold is a stronghold. A fear and doubt, anxiety, depression. And we would want to pray with you tonight. And God, trusting that God can set you free. But it does beg the question, what about if it doesn't break? What about if it doesn't break and you go home no different? You go home and you get up in the morning and you're still struggling next week. Let me assure you, that does not mean that God is not for you. I don't understand it. But sometimes he walks through the valley with us. He says, when that water comes, it will not overtake you. That fire will not burn you. Those flames will not scorch you because I, the Lord your God, am with you. And often he doesn't take us around the fire. Sometimes we go through the fire. And I know the battle. I know the pain. I know the shame. of failing and falling. I know that. I've lived it. And if I'm not careful, it can come right back. Can it? You can open the door again to the work of the enemy. But hold the line. The Bible is crystal clear. Even if God doesn't take it away, like Paul cried out, Lord, take this away 3 times. Take this away. And the Bible says a messenger of Satan was called to buffet the flesh of Paul. I don't like that. Or what about Job? God says, have you considered my servant Job, Satan? Why don't you go and harass him? I don't want him to say, have you considered my servant Shane? Go mess with him for a while. And so we don't quite understand it. Sometimes God doesn't set free. Sometimes the situations are still there. But I do know this. I have tasted and I've seen the goodness of God. I've been through hell and I've held on to the hem of his garment. I can stand with all perseverance knowing that no matter what I'm going through, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is with me. He strengthens me. Sometimes he must carry me through that fire, carry me through the battle. Sometimes the enemy gets a fiery dart here and there. Sometimes you're walking with a limp, but you steer a hold and on to the Savior who will see you all the way through. And sometimes that gets you to a point of brokenness and despair. And sometimes men, especially with men, God's got to humble you through your pain. I want to just close with a question I saw this week. The question was this: are you worried about dying? Are you worried about dying? The answer was, don't. You will live forever. All you have to worry about is location, location, location. Any real estate agents here? Location, location, location. And I don't want to trivialize this, but it's so true. I will never speak to this group again. I will never speak to all of you in this setting ever again. You can rest assured of that. Some of you will be gone. Some of you will never return. New people coming in, new people going out. I've got one opportunity to tell you, you will live forever, but it is all about location. Do you know the Son of God? Have you repented of your sin and embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You will have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Pride will work against you. You know the reason there is eternal separation from God? One word, pride. Pride. I don't need that. I don't need a God. I can control this. I can do this. Here's what I think God is. No, you need to humble yourself and embrace God's absolute truth. It says, if you confess that Christ is Lord, that he was raised from the dead, in other words, that he is the Son of God, that you will be saved, you will be set free. If you believe, as the scriptures say, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Peter said, repent and experience times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So something has to break in your life. And you don't know the Savior, this is your opportunity. That's where the real darkness breaks, and that's where you're set free, because the power of God will set you free and you will never be the same again. So I want to give you that opportunity tonight. If you want to recommit your life to the Lord, or if you're baptized maybe as a little baby or as a child, or when I was baptized at 12, it didn't mean anything, so I was baptized again at 30, and that's when God really changed my life. We would love to baptize you. I will meet you over there by the baptismal, and you can let me know if you're confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you want to make a public declaration of that. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Why are we so embarrassed to follow Jesus? Why is it so embarrassing? It shouldn't be. Or men that say they're Christians, why would you never know? Because something hasn't changed in their heart. Because when your heart has changed and God has set you free, even the rocks will cry out, Hosanna in the highest. The changed heart always cries out for God, because it's the heart saying, Abba, Father, not get away from me, Father. The Holy Spirit within a believer is wanting to worship God, is wanting to press in, is wanting to pray, is wanting to tell people that Christ has set me free. The reason is maybe he's never really set you free. Maybe you've been playing church. This is the time to change that tonight and realize who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's no more shame and guilt. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, there's a fight. Yes, there's a battle. But now you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lord on your side. And we know that every knee will bend and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. There is not a gray area. There's not walking on the fence. It's either light and darkness, right and wrong, heaven and hell. Choose today who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But if you heard something tonight that you think a family member needs to hear, would you get them to church tomorrow? It's 20 minutes from here. Get them to church and let the trust God. Trust God. Let the power of the Holy Spirit convict them and draw them to Him. So as we go into a time of worship, they're going to do a few songs. I know it might be a little challenging, but make that decision. If you need to get baptized, if you need to recommit your life and say, I'm fully surrendering my life to Jesus Christ, I would love to baptize you. Or if you're saying, I have never known him before. Listen, we have people every Sunday coming up into the prayer room saying, I need to know Jesus. Guy's driving by the church. He's driving by the church. God draws him into the church, and now he's safe. Where does that come from? Because the power of God, when it is let loose in a dark and dying world, and you begin to trust in God and God alone, you'll see the miraculous. The reason we don't see the miraculous is we're too closed off. We've got God in a nice little box. God doesn't do that anymore. We've got the Bible now. Oh, you can be Bible taught. You can be straight as a gun barrel theologically, but just as empty. You need theology and you need the power of the Spirit. Get your heart right before God. There's nothing more important than this. The days ahead are not getting easier. They're getting darker. They're getting harder. The line is being drawn in the sand. You will have, if you don't live for Christ now, how are you going to die for him someday? Get anchored now. Get built up now. Let the concrete set, you contractors. Build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. Anchor in deeply. For he who hears my words and obey him, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the rock. And when the storms came, they're coming. The storm is coming, but that house did not fall because it was built on the rock. And when all hell came against him, he stood there and he just stood there because the grace of God was upon his life.